Okay. Praise the Lord.
There we go.
Let's go in our Bibles to the Bible. Praise the Lord. Let me just, as you're turning over to Joshua 21, let me just quote to you a few things. You know, last night, which was a great service, didn't you enjoy last night? Man, I had a great time last night, and the Holy Ghost was so powerful. He will, of course, be that way again tonight. The question I guess I have to ask everybody again is the beginning, you know, are you hungry for God and are you hungry for the things of God? Because really at the end of the day, to have longevity with effectiveness, which there's two kinds of things. There's being a Christian, because really there's nothing better to be, and that's all you are. It's not like you're going to say, I'm just going to stop being a Christian. So a lot of people, you know, they're Christians for many years, but it doesn't necessarily mean that you're effective and that your life really is counting and making a difference. Everybody was born to matter. All of you were born to matter, and you were born to live up to your full potential. And God measures us by our potential. And so at the end of the day, that's really what he's going to look at. How much of your potential did you use in your life? And so, in what I'm going to minister tonight, which is the amazing peace of God that every one of us must have. Think about this for a second. If you don't have peace, there is some type of illness you're going to develop. Because you have to have peace in your life, or things in your life begin to fall apart. A man without peace or a woman without peace begins to disintegrate emotionally, mentally, spiritually, relationally. Things begin to fall apart. But you know, God has given us some very powerful promises about having peace. And if you've ever tasted peace, you know what I'm talking about, how beautiful the peace of God is. But if you've ever had torture or torment in your mind, 1 John 4:18, I guess, says it the best. Perfect love casts out fear because fear has torment. And any area where we are infested with fear, we don't have peace. And so what God does is he comes and he drives out of our lives all that which will cause us to lose our peace. Because he knows we cannot fully function as men and women of God without the peace of God. Praise the Lord. I need peace, don't you? Amen. Amen? If you have peace, think about it like this. If you have peace, you don't need false peace. You don't need the peace of anything else. You won't need drugs. You won't need medications. You won't need chemicals. You won't need any other thing to help you have peace, because the peace of God is complete. And, of course, Galatians 22, or 5:22, 5:20 through 22, lists peace as one of the fruits of the Spirit. And it's something you want to have in your life. Peace is great. The world is full of people without peace. Amen? So everybody in jail doesn't have peace. People that commit crimes do not have peace. People that do not know God do not have peace. The wicked, the Bible says, have no peace. So there's a whole range of behavioral issues that you and I can get involved in that will take our peace from us. But there's also a whole range of lifestyles that we can have that we can have peace. How many of you would like the peace of God in your family, for example? And you just say, man, I would just love to have peace in my family. I would like my children to all have peace. Praise the Lord. It's a beautiful thing. I don't know about you, but before I was saved, it was the one thing I did not have was the peace of God. I had periodic bouts with joy from different things that would happen, but never could I find any peace. Never. I just could never find it. And at about the age of 6, I started having nightmares, and they did not stop till the day I got saved at 17. I quit having nightmares at that point, but from 6 all the way to 17, I pretty much had nightmares almost every night. And I had the same dream over and over. I kept having a big tarantula come down and eat me. And it just was a nonstop tormenting thing. I had it over and over and over again. And I got to the point where I just hated to go to sleep because I knew I was going to have that dream. And it just freaked me out. And for all of us that are here, we have either people that steal our peace, or we have circumstances that steal our peace, or we have ailments in our body that are stealing our peace, or we have situations that are pending, impending, or right now working on us to take away our peace. And then you have the whole gamut of 365 different types of phobias listed in the dictionary that you and I can actually be exposed to. That's one for every day. That's a lot of phobias. And when you come to Jesus, you come infested with phobias. Praise the Lord. Some of you may still have them right now. I mean, some of you may be afraid of being in high places, closed up places, all kinds of crazy things that people can have a phobia about and be afraid of, but it brings fear. The fear of your marriage breaking up, that's a terrible fear. I was speaking with someone 3 days ago from Europe, and they called me to counsel, and that was what the pastor's fear was. He said, I'm just afraid she's going to just leave. And he just didn't have peace, didn't have any peace. She was afraid they were just going to go bankrupt. But both of them were tortured by that fear, and so they couldn't have peace with each other because she was blaming him and he was blaming her. And they didn't have peace. By the end of the conversation, which was 2.5 hours, I got them to a place of peace. And I just want to encourage everybody today that if you're in a place where you don't have peace, people do not commit suicide because they have peace. People do not get divorced because they have peace. People do not lose their temper and get angry because they have peace. People do not get offended because they have peace. Peaceful people guard and protect that peace and count that peace to be a sacred thing. And if you don't have peace, you're going to have to look for alternatives. That's what is left to the world. And so you got cocaine, you got methamphetamines, you got sex, you got romance, you got all kinds of different possibilities. But biblically, from the Bible, anything you feed grows. And anything you starve dies. And so if you feed, like the Bible says in Proverbs, the eye is not satisfied with seeing. And neither is, for example, an alcoholic is not satisfied with drinking. The more that you feed that desire and appetite, you just enlarge it. And then your torture is even worse. Praise God. But tonight, we're going to come against everything that steals your peace, and we're going to get it out of your life. Praise the Lord. And God is going to give you the peace that he died on Calvary to purchase for us. Praise the Lord. You cannot guarantee that the circumstances in your life will be perfect. You cannot guarantee that everybody will treat you right. You cannot guarantee that people are not going to be cruel and mean and treat you badly. You can't control that. But you can have peace in the midst of a storm, just like Jesus did. And you know what the world wants? Peace. Because at the end of the day, a good night's sleep with no worry and no anxiety is worth a lot. I mean, just to go to bed and not have any freaky things happen during the night. No dreams. You know, no anxiety attacks. I have people all the time that write me and call me and say, I can't sleep. And of course, to not have peace in your sleep by itself is so bad for your health. It's just so bad for your health. You can only go so long without sleeping well that it will really begin to deteriorate your physical health and your mental health. So what does God do? He gives us the medicine of peace. We can have peace because Jesus died to buy it. And so praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, you're going to get off drugs and you're going to have peace. Go ahead and tell them. Say, you're getting off drugs today and you're going to have the peace of the Lord. Amen. So, in Joshua 21, in verse 43 and 44 and 45, it says this: the Lord gave Israel and all the land he had sworn to give to the fathers, and they possessed it and lived in it. The Lord gave them peace round about and rest, just as he had sworn to their fathers. Not one of their enemies withstood them. The Lord delivered all their enemies into their hands. There fell no part of any good thing which the Lord had promised to the house of Israel. All of it came to pass. Can everybody say amen? Amen. Is God a liar?
No.
If God promises peace, can you believe that you can have peace?
Yes.
Praise the Lord. My peace I give to you. That's what Jesus says. My peace I give to you. Not as the world gives. He said, I give you a peace that passes understanding. And the word there literally means an undisturbable peace by outside circumstances. I think that's pretty good. Turn in your Bibles back to Joshua chapter 3 for a moment. And let's get into that for a second. And when I'm talking about the peace of God, everybody believes me, of course. And I'll show you in a second. The source is found in Isaiah 53, verses 3, 4, and 5. And here's what it says. It says, he was by his chastisement, we have peace. Praise the Lord. And so, Jesus took on his body all of the things that steal peace from man. War is basically Satan laughing. War is Satan's party. And a war within us is a literal time of rejoicing for Satan and all his demons. He loves for you to be in a division. He loves for you to be in strife. He loves for you to be in contention. He loves it when you get offended. He loves it when you get mad at somebody. He loves it when you have bitterness. He loves it when you are judgmental and critical, and when you gossip about somebody. He loves it when you accuse people and verbally abuse someone. He loves it when you have all types of meanness inside of you because you don't have God's peace. So Jesus comes, our doctor, comes to heal us and deliver us. And that's exactly what's going to happen tonight. Praise the Lord. Now tonight I will be laying hands on every single person because we want the peace of God to be imparted. Praise the Lord. Some of you are going to get a miracle of sleep. You're just going to begin to sleep. Every week people call us. Every week people call us and write us that they are now sleeping for the first time because of the peace of God. It's something we need to be healthy. You can't really raise children when you're insane. Right? You have to have peace to do it. Praise the Lord. And people don't leave homes, marriages, and families when they have peace. But when you have that wanderlust, you're just restless, and you have no place you can stay because there's a restlessness inside you. None of that is God's will. Praise the Lord for the peace of God. Without medications. Amen? Without drugs. And so I just want you to keep that in mind, that if God promised to Joshua and every word he promised came to pass. Praise the Lord. Touch somebody next to you and say, I don't know about you, but I'm going to get some peace tonight. All right? And in Joshua chapter 3 and verse 10, we'll get into that. I want to just quote to you some verses about peace that I think are really beautiful. This is found in Psalm 147, verse 14. He makes peace on all of our borders and gives us the finest of the wheat. How many of you love the sound of having peace in the north of your life, south, east, and west? Just everywhere having the peace of God. Maybe right outside of your borders, it's all going crazy. But God said, I can give you peace. You know, when he gave the Israelites peace, there was two types of peace he gave them, 40 years and 80 years. 40 years of peace and 80 years of peace. That's powerful. Praise the Lord. That's awesome. And I have had 40 years of peace. I mean, I have had peace for 40 years. I'm going to have it till I'm 100 years old. I just believe in the peace of God is the will of God. I had all kinds of terrible circumstances, all kinds of challenges, all kinds of situations. I've had people deny me, hate me, kid, try to kill me, do everything. But praise God, I've had peace. I've always slept in peace, woken up in peace, walked in peace, felt the peace, I feel the peace. I don't have loneliness. I don't have any of those kind of feelings. I don't have those emotions. They left me when I got saved. I'm never going back to that mud hole, that ugly, rotten dungeon, that horrible pit of nothingness. I'm not going back. I found something. I'm not letting go of it. In the name of Jesus, neither are you. Praise the Lord. Would you hug somebody and smile and act like you're at least saved? Praise the Lord. Leviticus 26 and verse 6, "And I will give peace in the land, and you shall lie down, and none shall make you afraid, and I will rid the evil beasts out of the land, neither shall the sword go through your land." That's a promise. And then Ephesians 2:14, "For he," Jesus, "is our peace, who has made both one, and has broken down the middle wall of partition between us." And then Isaiah 53:5, "He was wounded for our transgression. He was bruised for our iniquities. The chastisement of our peace was on him." That is a great word. And then peace has been made by the blood of the cross. Praise God. And then, "Now the God of peace fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope and joy and in the power of the Holy Spirit," Romans 16, 15. Pretty powerful. And then Isaiah 32, 17, "The work of righteousness shall be peace, and the effect of righteousness, quietness and assurance forever." Praise God. So how is God going to give you peace tonight? How is God going to bring peace in your life? How are you going to get to a place where you actually are not depressed? You're not discouraged. You're not upset. You're not lonely. You're not despairing. You're not dejected. How are you going to get to that place if you are? How are you going to get to the place where you have the peace of God and you're able to give it to other people, and when people get around you, they sense that you have peace and you become a peacemaker, bringing peace into other people's lives? That's really important. I believe it happens like this. First of all, Joshua 3:10. And it says this, "I will drive out from among you, before you, the Canaanite, the Hittite, the Hivite, the Perizzite, the Girgashite, the Amorite, and the Jebusite." In total, about seven nations, but really if you read on, it's almost like nine nations. He said, "These are your tormentors, and I'm going to drive them out of your life." Who wants to get every tormentor out of your life tonight? Who just wants to believe that God in one night can set you free and you not be tormented again? Didn't Jesus do that to the demoniac? I mean, can you be any more tormented than have 6,000 demons living in your body? To the point where they're driving you so crazy that you're running around naked in a graveyard, cutting yourself, screaming and yelling because you have these beings inside of you, these evil forces, 6,000 of them inside your body, and you have enough composure in your mind that when you see Jesus, that you can actually run to Jesus, fall on your feet with all these evil things in you, and get delivered. Praise God. His will was still intact. And none of you that are here are to that point, right? I mean, none of you here are crazy like that, running around cutting yourself and threatening people and, you know, scaring your wife or husband and telling them, "When you go to bed tonight," in a different voice, "I'm going to kill you. I'm going to cut your head off while you're sleeping." I mean, you know, some of you are not laughing, so I assume you are doing that. Praise the Lord. So here's what happens. One of the things that has to happen tonight is that you have to have the forces of darkness in your life driven out of your life. Praise the Lord. Not everybody here is perfect. One or two of you are not perfect. Praise the Lord. Not everybody here always makes the right choices. Sometimes you choose the things of your flesh. And you open the door to the devil in some way, to some degree. Some more than others. For example, you may not know that if you watch pornography, and 78% of Christian men are addicted to pornography, according to Barna Research, which you can look that up on your own, and 48% of women, Christian women, have a problem with pornography. So you've got 5 out of 10 women and almost 8 out of 10 men that are, you know, addicted to a perverted visual addiction that makes their minds like a prostitute house. And there's no peace when those kinds of things are running through your mind all day long. Praise the Lord. So what does God have to do? If God's really going to bring peace, and it's not a plastic peace, it's not a fabricated behavioral modification thing, because, you know, you've known people that act real happy and act like they're really everything's great, and then all of a sudden you find out they did something crazy. They killed themselves or killed somebody else or did some other crazy thing. And you never knew how tormented they were because they had learned how to carve out masks to deceive their friends and pretend to other people. They had learned the skills of phraseology and personality, you know, traits and all that kind of stuff. But when they are alone, like you and I, when we get alone, then that's where the rubber meets the road. You either have it or you don't. Praise the Lord. And so what God has to do then is he has to drive out the enemies from our life. And we're going to have that happen tonight. Praise the Lord. Look at somebody and say, drive out everything that's driving me crazy. Shake somebody's hand and say, drive out everything. Now, you don't have to believe the things I'm about to tell you because they are unbelievable. But they did happen to me, many of these things. I was assigned when I was about 18 to do all the prayer and counseling for everyone in the church. If anybody had problems, they all sent them to me. So basically, I counseled Monday through Friday. That's what I did. So I knew everybody's secrets. Their little sins, their big sins, everything they've ever done. I knew everything. And I had some of the craziest experiences. I mean, really crazy. This gal comes to our church, and we picked her up on the highway and brought her to church. And we built a whole church from just hippies from the road. So we had 500 hippies. The guys had longer hair than the girls. But one thing about them is they all could play instruments really well and sing really well. And they were all pretty. But they were really crazy, some of them. Oh, my gosh. One time this petite gal comes, blonde hair, long blonde hair, real flower child, peace child, loving and sweet and very gentle like that and talked like that and just real nice and all that. And very sweet and just, oh, hi, da, 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 like that. So she comes in for prayer. And I said, well, in the name of Jesus, get delivered. Just like that. I just said, in the name of Jesus. And her eyes almost went like backwards. She just, and she started making like snake sounds and everything. And I mean, she didn't know anything about anything. Nobody had taught her, make noises, act like a snake, be weird, change your voice. And then her voice changed. So I had three other people in there with me, three other girls in there with me that were helping me pray. And I said, grab her, man, grab her. And they grabbed her, and she started throwing these girls around. And it was wild, man, this little tiny thing. And her eyes got all, well, it turns out she had been molested by her father. Two of her cousins had molested her. She had been raped when she was in high school. One thing after another, and she had created a facade of peace in desperation to try to cover up all the pain that she was in. Praise the Lord. But in about an hour, Jesus set her free. And she had real peace. And she wept, I think, probably. If I'm not exaggerating, I saw her weeping almost every week for at least a year. I said, why do you always cry? She says, because I finally have peace for the first time in my life. And I don't have to pretend. Praise God. Because real peace can only come from God. You can't find it anywhere else. Only God can give you peace. And if you don't have peace, you're going to go crazy. Praise the Lord. You know what ultimate insanity is, ladies and gentlemen? Ultimate insanity is walking away from God. That is ultimate insanity. To walk away from the one person in the universe who can fix all your problems is insanity. Praise the Lord. I know my wife likes peace. My children like peace. I asked my wife one day, you know, what's the most intimate thing I could do to you? I just said it like that. And at that time, you know, I was looking for more of a fleshly response. Be totally honest with you. You know, it was just one of those moments. But she looked at me and I thought she was going to say something, you know, something crazy. But she said, pray for me. You could pray for me. You could lay hands on me every day and just bless me and pray for me. And it really took me by surprise. How a woman thinks is weird. You know what I'm saying? I was so disappointed. You know, but I said, pray for you? What are you talking? I'm not talking about spiritual things right now. She said, well, you asked me and that's it. Pray for me. In other words, to her, intimacy was giving her security and peace. And she said, you know, Ivan, no one can give it to me but you. If you don't, I won't get it. And of course, she understood God gives it to her and all that. But she was asking me to be a funnel, to be a funnel of blessing and peace. Praise the Lord. What a difference that makes. You husbands, if you just lay hands on your wife, go ahead and do it right now. Just lay hands on your wife and say, I bless you with peace in the name of Jesus Christ. Just say those words to her. Go ahead, lay your hands on her and just say those words. Say, and I rebuke the devil. And you're going to have peace every day. When you go to bed, you're going to have peace. Praise the Lord. Now, wives, lay your hands on your husband and say, you will wake up and catch on fire and blaze with the Holy Spirit and clean up the house. Praise the Lord. Everybody lift your hands and say amen. Clean up the house. So, in Joshua 3:10, we're given the list of the torturers and tormentors. I'm going to give them to you as I researched these and then got the definitions. God said, I will drive these out of your life. He said Canaanites, and this is what the word Canaanite means. A trafficker of aggressive control and dominance. God will drive out of your life anything that is controlling you and forcing you to do things you don't want and dominating you. Number two, parasites. The word means this: false claims and a squatter thief. Those are the two words: false claims and a squatter thief. Someone that comes into your life and says, you belong to me. I'm here to steal from you. Everything that steals from you, God is going to drive out. Three, Jebusites. He will tread down to make you feel unworthy, like a failure, and futile. Those are all the words given. He will tread you down. Something that condemns you. Something that devalues you, something that takes your worth away from you, something that literally beats you down. Those things in your life, they steal your peace, and God says, I'm going to drive the Jebusites out of your life. Praise the Lord. No more guilt. No more shame. No more being beat up and having issues with your identity. Now you get to stand on solid ground and be who God created you to be. Can anybody say praise the Lord? Can anybody clap your hands? Can anybody make some noise? Can you have some energy? Can you act like you're not on drugs, ladies and gentlemen? Come on, somebody. Number four, the Girgashites. And this is what the word means. To feel out of place, lonely, empty, desolate, and like a stranger. And you know, some of you here have that. You don't fit in anywhere because you can't help it. In other words, you're not comfortable in your own skin. So you really work hard at trying to feel comfortable, but you don't feel comfortable. And that's not of God, and he's going to drive that out. Self-consciousness is not of God. Shyness is not of God. Feeling trapped is not of God. Feeling like you're out of place everywhere and belong nowhere is not of God. And he is going to drive that out of your life. You're going to have peace. Praise the Lord. Give someone a high five and say, I belong to Jesus. Say, I belong in the house of God. And I am unique and special. And the devil is a liar. Number five, the Amorites. And here's what that means. Ruled by the people. Ruled by the people. Think about how much torment you've had because you've wanted to please somebody that's unpleasable. Praise the Lord. You know, a lot of preachers have become people pleasers now. They won't even tell you the truth. Praise the Lord. In the last days, people will not endure sound doctrine. They're not going to want to hear the truth. They're going to want to hear their brand of the truth. And people pleasers will give it to them. And they'll have huge churches filled with lost people. I preached in a church, about 6,000 people. And you would call it seeker-sensitive church. They don't give altar calls. They don't talk about sin. They don't talk about any confrontational issues. They don't talk about repentance. They don't talk about judgment. They don't talk about the flesh. They don't talk about sowing and reaping. They don't talk about any of those issues. They only talk about positive issues that can never make you feel uncomfortable. I go in there, I'm not like that. I don't know how to be like that. I couldn't even try if I wanted to. I could probably try, but about a minute in, I'd slip into something and be talking about like something relevant. So I just did something. I got up there. And this pastor I've preached for him for many, many years. I preached for him when he had 50 people. Now, over 6,000 people. But he hadn't had me in a few years. He hadn't had me maybe in four or something years like that, maybe more. But he missed me, you know, because he had a lot of beautiful memories with us and la, 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 all that. So he had me back and I said, man, you got a big, really big church and all that. Wow, it's all electric and exciting, you know. Two services Sunday morning. So anyway, I get up and I'm feeling things already, just feeling so much. I said, wow, there's a lot of lost people in here. So I preached on the cross. I just preached on Jesus and everything he did at Calvary. I gave an altar call in the first service and had probably, if it's not this many, it's more, at least 1,500 people or 2,000 people get saved. The second service was even more. We had almost close to 4,000, 3,800 people at least came forward to get saved. An usher that had been in the church, not an usher, but an elder that had been in the church, had his dad in church as the head usher of the church for the previous 4 years. His dad would continually tell him, I am not a Christian. I just like being around these people. And he had worked his way to head usher as a non-saved man. Because he was never given an altar call. So that man got saved. The elder was weeping in the back. The pastor came, I got to talk. So he took me to the back. I'm thinking, okay, I'm going to be excommunicated. I had one shot, but I only let all these people go to hell. And so he's weeping in the back saying, oh my gosh, what have I done? What have I done? How could I have that many people in church that are not saved? I said, well, you just backslid. You forgot why you were a preacher. He said, I'll never do that again. Every Sunday from now on, there'll be an altar call. I will lay hands on the sick. I'll do what I used to do. He said, I just left all that because, you know, I get a lot of money from these people. People pleasing. People pleasing. You may please man, but if you don't please God, it's going to make you poor. Praise God. Poor in the spirit. Now, there's a variety of you here that don't have that problem. Pleasing people. You'll say anything at any time to anybody. Huh? Praise the Lord. But others of you won't say anything. So, praise the Lord. Look at someone and say, I need to get delivered from people. We then have the Amalekites. And the word Malachite means shameless, perverted behavior. Praise the Lord. Any shameless behavior, perverted behavior will steal your peace. You have the Hittites, and the word Hittites means kings of terror, which are all the fear problems. God's going to drive that out. And then the last one is called Hivites, which is false life and showers of false experiences. It is the devil's job to give you God alternatives so that you don't have to serve Jesus, because he gives you alternatives to Jesus and alternatives to God. That's his job. He is the great evangelist. No one is a greater evangelist than Satan. No one. He knows all the tricks. And please remember that he was the worship leader. That means he has all the melodies that move the heart. And understand that he fell with one third of the angels, which are all musicians. One third of the angels came with Satan, and they're all musicians, because all of those angels, they were all in charge of leading worship in heaven. So they're going to create music that's going to seduce our soul and open it up to the lyrics that will defile our minds and lead us into hell. Music is not bad. It is created to open our spirit. Satan knows it all. So he knows all forms of music for every flavor that you may like. And the music is not bad. It's what comes in the words. So you have to be careful that the words are not defiling your mind. Praise the Lord. It even may be the catchiest tune. You know, yesterday all my troubles seemed so far away. Now it seems as though they're here to stay. Well, why would you say that? You're just cursing yourself. All my troubles are far away, now they're here, and it's all here forever, and I'm cursed and forever. But the music itself, you know, praise the Lord, there's a lot of beautiful songs with bad lyrics. Imagine, is it just a piece? Beautiful. The lyrics, man. No God, no heaven, no hell, no religion, no. It's total atheist. But anyway, there you go. So, don't get offended at the truth. Now, so God is going to drive those out of your life. Look at two people and say, I receive the deliverance of all of the ites in my life. Peace has been paid for. Isaiah 53, it's been paid for. So you can have peace, and you can have it right here tonight. Praise the Lord. You can have peace. If you need peace in your marriage, you can have that. There should be no divorces among Christians. No divorces among Christians. Praise the Lord. If you both walk with God, you won't get divorced. If you have the peace of God, you certainly won't get divorced. And your children should love you, ladies and gentlemen. Your children should love you. They should want to be with you. And if you have peace, they'll want to be where the peace is at. Because they're going to step out there into the world and meet everybody that's crazy. And they don't want to have anything to do with that. I mean, I had to go to many homes and rescue many people from violent situations in my 40 years. I've had to rescue people from knife fights, gun fights, Christian women beating their husbands with brooms and chasing them out of the house and just going crazy and speaking in tongues while they're doing it. It's insanity when there's no peace. The devil loves it. Praise the Lord. Have you ever noticed that if you cuss, you don't feel God's peace? Or how many of you do? Huh? Does anybody feel the peace of God when you cuss? Now, we took the poll yesterday and everybody's cussing, so I'm not, unless you're visiting today, everybody, you either cuss out loud or you cuss in your mind, but according to our poll yesterday, just about everybody admitted they were cussing, and the rest of you have a different problem. Starts with an L. But anyway, when you're complaining, when you're finding fault, there's no peace. Praise the Lord. Because one of the sources of peace is praise, thanksgiving, and worship. To be thankful will make you peaceful. If you just start thanking God, can you start doing it? If you just start thanking God, just throw up some thanksgiving right now of any kind for anything. If you just start thanking God and say, God, thank you that I'm alive, and thank you that I'm saved and going to heaven. Can you say thank you to God for anything right now? Just say, God, thank you that I'm not going to hell. Thank you that I'm going to heaven. Thank you that you washed me in the blood. Thank you for my wife, my husband, my children. Thank you, God, for the blessings that you've given me in my life. Thank you, Father. Thank you, Lord. Doesn't that make you feel good? Thank you, God. I appreciate my life. I appreciate that you drew me out of many waters. I'm so glad that I'm saved. You see, you feel better when you start being thankful. And if you start praising God, lift your hands, do it now, and praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. You are worthy of all praise and all glory to your name. Praise you, Almighty God. Thank you, Lord. Glory and honor and praise belong to the Lamb of God. High and lifted up. All the earth shall declare your praises from generation to generation. All men shall exalt and praise you and bless you. Thank you, Lord, for the great things you have done. Your name is worthy to be praised. You see, that's called praise. Now, if you're not comfortable with that and you don't know how to do that, let me redefine it for you in terms that maybe you can understand. If you're sitting there with the person you love the most and they say to you, you are so beautiful, you are fine, they are praising you. How does it make you feel? When someone you want to love you takes you in their arms and says, you are my life and I love you all my life. I will love everything about you. That's praise. Praise the Lord. And it makes you feel good. If you fill your house with praise, then the lack of peace leaves. That's why it's really important as a couple that when you wake up in the morning, you have a time of thanksgiving, a time of praise, and a time of worship. You can do 5 minutes each. Just let's start thanking God for the day. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for this beautiful day you gave us. Thank you for all the doors you'll open today. Thank you for the opportunities you'll give us to get people saved today, healed and delivered and set free. Thank you for a relevant, significant life today. Then you start praising Him. Praise you, God, for the victories already. Praise you for the answered prayer. Praise you for the breakthroughs today. Praise you for the miracles that are going to happen. 5 minutes. Then you can start worshiping. I worship you, Almighty God. You are worthy of praise. I kneel before you. I bow before you. Oh, Jesus, I love you so much. I worship. And you just start worshiping. You can even do it with music. What will happen? You create an atmosphere in your home of the peace of God. You start by reading the newspaper, you are a dumb person. I want to tell you right now, you are not smart. Because that newspaper has got more negative stuff in it than a man in the moon. And the last thing you should do is read your paper to start your day. You do not have a brain. Don't get offended, but you are really not being smart. It is like taking scorpions and putting them in your mouth for breakfast. The economy's falling apart. We're all going to burn in hell. Everybody's lying to us. Everybody's murdering us. This person is falling apart. That person. It may feed your soul, your natural soul, but it's not going to help you love anybody that day. It's not going to help you forgive. It's not going to help you be kind and merciful and understanding. You may be addicted to it, and you may need that negative stuff, but that is a bad addiction. You should get established in God and start your day in God, then read your paper. With your coffee or cocaine or whatever. Praise the Lord. Right? So can we just thank God now? Can you lift your hands and say, I forgive Brother Ivan for saying all those things about me? Praise God. Thank you, Jesus. I forgive him for telling me I'm crazy and nuts and lost my mind for reading the paper. Don't get mad at me for telling you the truth, folks. I love you, and you know what I said is true. Praise the Lord. Your wife, brothers, needs a happy man. Your husband needs a happy wife. That's what we need. Praise the Lord. We need somebody that wakes up with joy and happiness and peace. We don't need crazy people. Praise will take care of that. So we know that the peace of God has been bought, and we know that praise and worship will begin to clean out the atmosphere. Praise, worship, and thanksgiving is the atmosphere cleaner. It cleans the atmosphere. Where do you find that in Psalms 22? God inhabits the praises of his people. And you know, look up the word inhabits. Look it up in the Strong's Concordance. Look up the word inhabits. And you know what it says? To build a throne. Literally, your praises build a throne for God to sit on. In the atmosphere of your home, family, and life. Praise God. You want peace? It's going to have to come out of your mouth. Who can declare peace right now? Just declare some peace. Say, Lord, I just declare peace. Praise the Lord. Just the sound of that is very powerful. You know, you can be an extremist verbally, but you can also be ignorant verbally. And anybody that has any common sense knows that positive words are much better than negative ones. Words are not everything, but words are a lot. The power of life and death is in the tongue. That's a pretty powerful thing. And most of you that are here, if you're twisted in any way and wounded, it's words that mostly did it. And if you feel good about yourself, somebody said something to drag you out of a place, to put you in a new place, to build you up, to encourage you, to restore you, to fix something, and they did it with words. If you get mad, it's because somebody said something to you. Most of the time. Unless you're just mad already. Some people wake up mad, go to bed mad. But you don't have to do that. Praise the Lord. Can anybody just say something nice to someone right now? Just look over to someone, not your wife, not your husband, somebody else, and just say something nice. Just say anything nice. Say, oh, what a lovely dress. Oh, beautiful glasses that you're wearing. Wow, is that your original hair color? It's fantastic. I've actually never seen that. Or you could say, where's your hair? That's a cool look. It's all shiny. Then we read the scripture that the righteousness of God in Isaiah 32:17, the work of righteousness is peace. The effect of righteousness, quiet and assurance. How many of you want to have quietness and assurance inside you? Where does it come from? Righteousness. Righteousness. And where does righteousness come from? If you study it out biblically, there's basically two kinds of righteousness. There's positional righteousness and experiential righteousness. Positional righteousness is what you are given by Jesus through the blood of Jesus Christ. Positional righteousness. It's called the robe of righteousness. You did not earn it. It was given to you by Jesus' death, burial, and resurrection. That robe is positional righteousness. The blood of the Lamb allows you to enter into the Holy of Holies and have fellowship with God. Because you have positional righteousness, the gift of righteousness given to you by God, it allows you to get close enough to God to fellowship with Him. When you fellowship with God, it goes from a position to an experience. In other words, it changes who you are. Your nature and DNA become transformed by rubbing heart to heart with God. Now it's not just a position, it's an actual experience. You're not just claiming righteousness and living sinfully. You are now claiming righteousness and walking righteously because God has transformed you while you've been in fellowship with him. But you could have never even had fellowship without the gift of righteousness that allowed you, a sinner, to get close to God. Praise the Lord. Amen. Amen. Somebody go like this. Hallelujah. So I think that's really important. If you're going to have peace, what does that mean? Peace starts with two words. Repentance. Righteousness starts with two words. Repentance and a clean conscience. If you go to bed every night and clean your conscience every night, say, Lord, I committed these sins today that I'm aware of. None of them require me to apologize or call anybody. So I don't have to do that. Or you can say, Lord, these are the sins I did today, and they require me to apologize to some people. So I'm going to go ahead and do that. I'm going to call them right now or write them a letter and get right. Because, of course, there's no repentance. There's no repentance without restitution. Don't believe that somebody who gossips about you all over town and then comes and says to you, I'm sorry, I gossiped about you all over town. I would like your forgiveness and I would like to apologize. I've had people do that to me, and do you know what I tell them? I say, no. No, I will not forgive you. They go, what? I said, no, you have to restore me. What do you mean? You have to go to all the people you gossiped, every single one, and tell them you lied and gossiped. Then come and ask me to forgive you, and I will forgive you. Until that point, I have forgiven you personally in my heart. I have nothing against you, but you're not released from your sin until I release you, until you truly repent. And people go, they freak out at that. Oh, my gosh, well, how can that be? Oh, there's no forgiveness. See, because if you read in the Bible, there is no repentance without restitution. You don't just steal somebody's money and then say, I'm sorry. The Bible demands that you pay that person back seven times. So I've had people do that, and they say, well, I would have to really get embarrassed. I said, yes, uh-huh. I would really have to look like a liar. Uh-huh. That's the point. That's the point. You lied about me. Go fix me. What do you mean? Fix my reputation that you have ruined. Otherwise, don't tell me you're repenting. You're not repenting. You're lying. You caused the damage. Now you won't fix it, but you want to be forgiven. No! But of course, inwardly, you have to forgive them. And there has to be peace in your heart. You pray for them. You bless them if they don't do it and all that. But they just need to know that you're not going to play the game with them, the fake Christianity game, where nobody wants to make things right. They just want to be forgiven with no consequences. I'm sorry, it just doesn't work that way. You steal, you need to pay the person back. I ain't feeling the love, so I'm going to go here and shout for myself for a little while. Praise the Lord. Way to go, Ivan. Great preaching tonight. Praise God. Peace, peace, peace. Because you want peace, and then you're not going to get it unless you fully repent. That's how peace comes. You don't just damage people and then say, I'm sorry. You heal them. Have you ever had somebody truly be sorry for what they did to you? Anybody? Has anybody here ever had somebody truly actually hurt because they hurt you? And that it broke them to pieces that they could have hurt you? And they said, I will do anything. Please, I'm so sorry. I would never hurt you on purpose. And you know that is a sincere thing. And they'll do whatever it takes. They don't even hesitate. I've had people like that. They're weeping at my feet. Literally at my feet, weeping. And then I said, okay, what did you do? Did this, this, and this. Okay, well, these are the four things that I'm going to require you to do and that God requires you to do. Go do them and everything will be great. They go and do them and everything's great. You know why? Because a person that truly repents will never resist anything you ask them to do to heal you. A man has an affair with his secretary. He comes home, tells his wife, I'm sorry, I had an affair with Susie. At work. The wife is devastated, broken. But I broke it off. It only happened one time. It's never going to happen again. I promise. What do you mean it's never going to happen again? It's never going to happen again. I have victory over her. It's not going to be a problem. She's going to stay in the office and still work there? Well, of course. That's not repentance. No, you go and fire her and get rid of her. And then you say to your wife, yes, I fired her today. Oh, maybe she'll believe that you actually mean what you say. Now, I know this is not real popular. It's ugly truth, but it is necessary. Praise the Lord. Some of you are freaked out because how are you ever going to pay all those things back? Well, obviously, you can't go back and pay some of those things back because they've all disappeared and la, 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 la. But at least from today on, you can develop a righteousness that actually is genuine and not the fake Christianity that a lot of us practice. Praise the Lord. Can anybody raise your hands and say, oh, la, 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 la. See, we can't just say I'm sorry and then not fix the damage. Disrespect, ladies and gentlemen, is how you tell people they don't mean anything to you. You disrespect a person, you're letting them know they have no value in your eyes. And I'm going to say this. No Christian should treat a person like that. We should value one another and count the other person more important than ourselves. And we should become expert pearl polishers. Not ours, but theirs. Now, this is a different kind of Christianity, maybe, but I believe this is the genuine kind. And I think that that's the kind that's going to bring you peace. Praise the Lord. So you repent. And you restore. Keep your conscience clean. Amen? When you lie, stop yourself and say, oh, sorry, that was a lie. What really happened was this. Oop, sorry, that was a exaggeration. Remember that exaggeration is how we attempt to fix God's mistakes in our eyes. It's how we define the life we believe God should have given us. But, you know, you just have to settle with whatever life you have. You know, you just don't have to invent like a new one. It's okay. Praise the Lord. So, there you have some very important things. And, of course, the blood of Jesus cleanses your conscience. Anytime you genuinely apologize and repent, you're forgiven. And all that is gone. What else brings peace? According to Philippians, I'm going to end with this, though there's many more, but I'm just going to end with this because I want to pray with people. Philippians 4, 6, 7, and 8. And here's what it says. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything with prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Praise the Lord. Amen? Look at somebody and say amen. Very, very important that everybody realize the statistic, you can look it up in Barna Research, they also have this one. The statistic is that Christians pray at an average 3 minutes a day. 3 minutes a day in the United States. 3 minutes a day. So obviously, there's not a relationship going on. Because how long it takes to bless breakfast, lunch, and dinner. So there's not a relationship going on. And without a relationship with God, we're going to have a problem having peace. Since prayer is one of the sources of our peace. Literally getting on your knees before God and pouring your heart out to the Lord. How many of you have concerns right now? Do you know how you get rid of the torments and fears of those concerns? You go to your knees. You just kneel down there, get down, and you say, Lord, I'm worried about my bills right now. I don't know, you know, how I'm going to pay them. I can't see it out there. But I'm coming to you because you're my source. And because I know that if I ask you to help me pay my bills, that all through the Bible it says you will. I'm not living in any sin that I know of. I've fixed everything that I know of. I'm operating in faith right now. I'm trusting you. I'm believing you. And you said ask, right? Ask and we receive. Seek and you find, all that. And that's not pulled out of context. That's just basic biblical prayer. You just say, God, this is your will for my bills to be paid. I'm not creating something. This is your will. My bills should be paid. Praise the Lord. So what I'm asking you, Lord, is would you please help me out to get these bills paid? I need something to happen. Your child is sick. You pray about it. Your business isn't going well. You take it to prayer. Your marriage isn't going well. You take it to prayer. Your health is not going well. You take it to prayer. You get on your knees. You kneel down before God on your knees or on your face, and you humble yourself, and you go to your heavenly Father. He knows you have need of all these things. Praise the Lord. And you ask him. And what does God do? Because he's a loving dad. He begins to bless you and answer your prayers. Otherwise, what else is there? Who else has the words of everlasting life? Praise the Lord. So who needs the peace of God? Praise the Lord.